A young man applied for a job as a farmhand. When the farmer asked him for his qualifications, he said this, Gene. He said, "I can sleep when the wind blows." This puzzled the farmer, but he liked the young man, and he hired him. "Thelma, would you hire somebody that worked for you that said, 'I can sleep when the wind blows'?" And that was their answer as a farmhand. You would ask more questions. Well, the farmer took him on that answer. A few days later, the farmer and his wife were awakened in the night by a violent storm. They quickly began to check things out to see if all was secure. They found that all the shutters of the farmhouse had been securely fastened. A good supply of logs had been set next to the fireplace. The young man slept soundly. The farmer and his wife then inspected their property. They found that the farm tools had been placed in the storage shed, safe from all the elements. The tractor had been moved inside the garage. The barn was completely locked. Even all the animals were calm, and all was well. The farmer then understood the meaning of the young man's words, "I can sleep when the wind blows." Because the farmhand did his work loyally and faithfully when the skies were clear, he was prepared for the storm when it broke. So when the wind blew, he was not afraid, and he slept in peace. The story about the young farmhand illustrates a principle that we as well need to learn in the scripture this morning. That there was nothing dramatic about the farmhand's preparations. He was just faithfully carrying about his responsibilities. He just did faithfully what needed to be done every day. Consequently, peace was his when the storms hit. When the sun set each day on Joseph's life, he could rest easy because he had been faithful. When he was with his father Jacob, he was a faithful son. He had taken care of the sheep faithfully. When he was with his father's flocks, he had served well. He had been a faithful worker and a faithful servant to Potiphar. When he was sold to Potiphar, he was a faithful worker, and everything he did was faithful. So in this passage before us today, we see the faithfulness of Joseph fairly clearly. He remains faithful to God, to himself, and in the face of many problems that he's going to encounter. And through the midst of that, he remained faithful. And we see that through Joseph, the power of a faithful life, illustrated in him the power of our Lord's faithfulness to us. That he remains ever faithful to us through all that we learn. So this morning, quickly, we want to discover three ways that Joseph's life was faithful and how we can learn from him to apply to our life the power of a faithful life. First, Joseph was faithful in times of temptation. Just as our Lord Jesus was faithful in times of temptation, so was Joseph. The story as it unfolds, as I read it, and you know, we know what happened in this chapter. It wasn't long as Joseph was serving in Potiphar's house. The scripture says that he was young, he was well-built, he was handsome. Remember, he was only about 17 years old at this point. And after a while, not only did Potiphar take notice of him for his faithful service that we talked about last week, but Potiphar's wife soon noticed him. And it says that day by day, not just once, but day after day, she propositioned him. And she tried to entice him and turn on her charm. And if you know seen pictures of ancient Egyptian women, you know how they dressed, they were very eloquent and very beautiful. And how she turned on her charm and tried day after day to entice Joseph to have relations with her. Now, Joseph was a long way from home. He could have justified it in his heart and said, "I'm away from my home. No one will ever know. After all, I'm a slave. I have to do what I'm told." And he could have tried to justify it, but his faithfulness to God, notice what he said. Verse 9, he said, "My master has not withheld anything from me except you. How then can I do such a wicked thing and sin against who?" God. Joseph knew that to go forward And to yield to that temptation was a sin and affront to God. And he was one to be faithful to the Lord. And temptation is never from God. And Joseph was not being tempted here by God or put through this test by God. James tells us we're tempted when we're dragged away by our own desires and enticed. And temptation is always from within. And there's always a way out. James tells us in chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. How many times have you heard someone say, when they're tempted and they give in to sin, the answer is, well, the devil made me do it. You ever hear it say? Maybe you said that. And the devil doesn't make us do it. He may tempt us and entice us, but we have to choose. Joseph was going to remain faithful to the Lord, and in that he illustrated the principle of Jesus as well. Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And Satan came to him and said, turn these stones into bread after going hungry for 40 days and 40 nights. Now if I miss one meal, maybe I might be able to handle it, but if I miss two or three, I am starving. How about you? I am starving, and if I haven't had ice cream for a day or two, or chocolate, man, or Nancy's chocolate chip cookies in a while, you know, I really start getting a craving. Now imagine 40 days and 40 nights without eating, the human side of Jesus here. And Satan comes to him and says, turn those stones into bread. Now Jesus had the power. He had the ability to do it. And what would have been wrong? It was a legitimate need to feed himself. What would have been wrong with that? But it would have been yielding to his desire, his sinful desire within, and Satan's temptation. It's our choice. And we need to remain to be faithful to him in temptation. And you say, well, how? It's hard. Temptation is hard. Satan puts those desires in us that sometimes are natural, something we want. And how do we yield to it? Well, there's a way out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, the temptations in your life are no different than what others experience. Sometimes we think, man, I'm being tempted. No one else understands this temptation I'm going through. It's tough. But he says, it's the same thing everybody else experiences, and Jesus was tempted in the same way. But in God is faithful, and because God is faithful, he would not allow temptation to be more than we can stand. But when you are tempted, he will show a way out so that you endure. And day after day, not just once, but day after day, Potiphar's wife kept throwing herself on Joseph. How could he eventually take the way out? Because he had learned faithfully day after day to yield to the Lord. He had learned faithfully day after day so that when the wind blew, he could sleep. And he was at peace. And he trusted God. The victories in the past showed him that he could have victory again. So what did he do? God provides a way out, but we have to take it. We have to take that way out. And for Joseph, the way was to flee. And he ran. And he got out of the house. But when she did, Potiphar's wife caught his coat and kept it. But he fled. And he fled and went away. Sometimes we need God's way out is to flee. To turn and run. That's the way. To turn from sin and to run to Jesus. That's the solution. To turn and run. And when temptation comes, to be faithful in it, we got to be like Joseph. To turn away, to run. Don't linger, because the longer we linger there, the more tempted we are to give in. Not to let it dwell on our mind, but to renew our mind. Or, to quote the great theologian, Barney Fife, we need to nip it in the bud, as he would say, and run from there when the temptation comes near. That's how we can overcome. God has given us the power. We don't have to yield to it. We have the ability to run, to take that way of escape. But so often we don't want to take the escape route. We just want to give in. We want to, because temptation is a temptation to indulge what we want. and away from God. To pleasure ourselves in a way or fulfill our desire apart from God. And that's really what temptation is. It's to fulfill those desires apart from God. And Joseph says, I am not going to sin against my God. I am going to remain faithful to him. Jesus was tempted in the same way, and he overcame. And how did he do that? By saying, it is written, and using the power of the word of God. And the power of the word of God puts Satan to flee. So the scripture says, therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will flee from us when we resist him. And we use the word of God against him, for it is written. Faithfulness to God in times of temptation. It's not easy. But Joseph could sleep when the storms and the wind blew because he had been faithful to God day in and day out. When those times of temptations come, we can rest in the Lord and we can overcome and have victory because we have been faithful to him in the past. Faithfulness in times of temptation. The Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and he will guard you from evil. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 18 says, for because he himself was suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Because Jesus himself went through temptation, he understands the temptations we face. We have a God who has identified with us in every way, going to the cross, but has identified us with temptation, and he understands how hard that can be. And because of that, he is able to help us in those times. Amen? If we rely on that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, but we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things like we are, yet without sin. He did not sin, nor could he, and he was going to take that sin for us on the cross, which we're going to celebrate in a few minutes. And there is a way out through looking to Jesus. But what about if we do give in to that temptation? What about if Satan tempts us and we do give in and we take our way instead of God's? What then? Well, the good news is this, that if we confess our sin, again, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all means all, right? We're going to be celebrating the Lord's table in a few moments. And this reminds us of that very thing. That Christ, who was no sin, became sin for us, that the righteousness of God could be given to us. And that by his blood shed, by his body broken, our sins can be forgiven and taken away from us. Praise God. He did not yield to temptation and had victory so that we could have life, so that we could be forgiven. And through his faithfulness in times of temptation, we have received life. And through his life, we have the power to be faithful too. So faithfulness in times of temptation. But second, we see the power of a faithful life demonstrated that Joseph was faithful in times of trial, just like Jesus. Because as the story unfolded, Joseph did the right thing. He, time after time again, when he was propositioned, he said no. This time he ran from it. He fled from it. He took himself away from that temptation altogether. And he had victory. Did the right thing. But Potiphar's wife was burned. And she was enraged. And they said she was scorned. And she was going to make Joseph pay. Her pride was hurt. She was humiliated. So when she saw that Joseph left his coat, she came up with a plan. And she held on to that plan and she screamed and she faked the scream and maybe made herself cry and put on this thing that he tried to rape me. He tried to attack me, Joseph. So when Potiphar came home, she told the story. She set the trap. Now, Potiphar got angry and he believed. It's been put out, and several Bible scholars have speculated as to why Potiphar got angry. They suspect, because of his wife, because he kind of knew the character of her and he knew the character of Joseph. But if Joseph would have done that, would he have left the evidence behind? So the fact that the evidence was left behind shows that this whole story was made up. But he was falsely accused for something he did not do. He was right before God, had his integrity, but Potiphar threw him in prison and put him in the dungeon, the place where the king's prisoners were kept. And now Joseph finds himself in prison. And the worst now, imagine being in the dungeon in ancient Egypt where the king's prisoners were, the worst of the criminals, how horrible that would be. And he found himself suffering for doing the right thing. Have you ever found yourself, when you do the right thing and you find yourself suffering for it? We've all been there, haven't we? And we do what's right and we end up suffering. What could Joseph have done? Here he could have said, I did what was right. I was faithful to God. I honored him. I worked hard for Potiphar. I gave him my life. And now I'm accused for something I didn't do. And he could have pitched a fit, but it says, the scripture says he didn't open his mouth. He didn't say a word. Instead, he willingly took that and trusted himself to the hand of God. Who does that remind you of? Jesus, who was wrongly accused, who took our sin, our suffering, our place, as they beat him, as they scorned him, as he hung on the cross. The Bible says he was like a lamb before the shears, yet he did not open his mouth. And he took that for you and for me and was faithful even to death, setting to us an example. So what's that mean? In times of trial, even when we're suffering for things that are right, we still need to be faithful to the Lord in the midst of that. Joseph didn't give God, Joseph didn't curse God. Joseph didn't blame God. Joseph didn't say, why are you allowing this to happen? He just trusted God. And that's hard, friends, isn't it? But that's where faithfulness comes in. How could he do that? How could he sleep when the wind blew? Because he had learned faithfulness and was faithful to the Lord day and day, every day before that. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trouble, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. To that we say amen. That there is something worth it at the end of this life. Yes, there will be trials. Jesus said, in this world we will have trials. In this world we will have temptations. In this world we will have suffering and heartache. This is a broken, hurting world under sin. But someday, when we overcome and persevere, we will receive the crown of life and the crown of rejoicing. Joseph heard the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what we're living our life for. So be faithful in times of temptation. Be faithful in times of trials, and we all will face them. We all will have trials in our life. And in those times, faithfulness to God, holding on to him, we may not understand it. We may not figure out why or why is it happening. But remember, through the whole thing, we see the overall hand of God. The whole theme of this time with Joseph is God meant it for good. And remember, God was at work in Joseph's life, even though he couldn't see it. And God was using every part of it to bring about his good plan. And we know that God's plan is good in all things. Jesus in the garden, when he struggled in the garden and he prayed, he said, Lord, if there is another way that salvation could come, that I don't have to face this trial, that I don't have to go through this agony of the cross, if there's another way, Father, please let it be. But he said, but yet not my will, but yours be done. And he was faithful in times of trial, just as Joseph, setting us an example. So faithfulness in times of temptation, faithfulness in time of trial, and third, faithful in times of tragedy. Joseph, as he was in prison, in verses 20 to 23, the end of this chapter, as he was in prison, what did he do? He could have sat and sulked. He could have had a pity party. As Joseph in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat illustrates this story, he sang a beautiful song, Children of Israel Are Never Alone, but expressing the faith, his faith in God, but he was faithful in times of tragedy. In fact, it says, because while he was there in prison, the Lord was with him and showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. That's exactly the same thing as Potiphar. Remember when he was taken into Potiphar's home, sold as a slave, what did he do? He was faithful, and God rewarded that, and Potiphar took notice of it. Here, the warden took notice of his faithfulness and elevated him, and he was promoted, and he was in charge of the whole prison. And the warden didn't care about he trusted Joseph with all the other prisoners, and he was faithful in that time of tragedy, and God prospered him there. Because he had trusted the Lord. Jesus was faithful in times of tragedy, taking the cross for us. And faithful to death, carrying that cross, that through it we would have life. And this morning we celebrate that. Hebrews tells us that let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And Jesus carried that cross and the agony and the suffering up the hill of Calvary, took the nails, took the beating, took the crucifixion for you and me, and for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And you know what the joy that was set before him was, friends? It was you. It was you. Because he looked down through the source of time, courses of time, and he saw you. And he loved you that much that he took the suffering and he took the agony of the cross so that you could be with him forever. Isn't that wonderful? And that was the joy that was set before him and enabled him to endure that tragedy and to be faithful unto death. What's the joy before us? It's Jesus. And knowing that someday we are going to spend our life with him and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. So who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame of it, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what he did. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus. What does that mean? The next verse. Therefore, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So that you too, and I, can be faithful in times of tragedy. So that we can be faithful in times of trial. And we can be faithful in times of temptation. Joseph's story here, and Joseph in this time, is a great illustration for us of the power of a faithful life. And that may all who come behind us find us faithful as well. As we prepare to meet our Lord today,